Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermonnotes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
Our reading from Genesis.
This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground.
Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first, the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx were also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die."
Hi, this is Larry Mudd at the Manhattan Church of Christ. What you're about to hear is a form of teaching called dramatic narrative preaching. This is a sermon, and although you may find it to be entertaining, it truly is not entertainment. As the contemporized story of the Scriptures is brought to life, you will benefit most if you personally engage with the narrative throughout. Ask yourself, where do I fit into this story? Are there parallels in my life? How does it apply to me? In the end, the best response to this message is your own prayer for God to help you put into practice the things He shows you through it. So don't just sit back and listen. Put yourself into this story we're about to share together of the transforming power of God's radical love.
Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with when you sing, you begin with do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi. The first three notes just happen to be do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
A very good place to start. The beginning. Lady is right. No more do, re, mi's today, though. Not with do, re, mi. We do not start with do, re, mi or ABCs. There is no writing in the beginning, not for a very long time. Not even with alephs, bets, or gibbals in Hebrew. I know. I was there. I am Adam. The one you call Adam. Adam. Adam means man. Sounds like Adama, ground. I am made from ground, from dust. You are made of dust, and because of me, you will be dust again. But that is the end of the beginning. The beginning when Lord God takes Adama, ground, takes dust and lifts it. Lord God, both names always please. Lord is master. God is creator of all things, master, creator of all things, Lord God. Okay? Lord God lifts
dust from the ground, lifts Adama and molds with his big, strong hands Adama into Adam. Then Lord God breathes life into me. Lord God blows life up my nostrils. My first feeling is itchy nose. I live, I itch. I open my eyes and Lord God is leaning over me, big smile on his face like he is happy to see me. I am happy to see anything, everything, but especially Lord God. Lord God helps me up, helps me walk. Walking is hard. Adam learns fast. Lord God takes me on my first walk through the garden with him. Beautiful garden, Eden. Heaven and earth are together. As Lord God and Adam walk side by side through the beautiful garden. Lord God shows me what else he has made besides Adam. Warm sun, colorful flowers, strange bugs, lots of bugs in all the sweet-smelling flowers. Whole garden smells wonderful, has that new planet smell. Everything is sharp and bright and clean. No edges have worn yet on any rock or mountain. Lord God gives Adam a job right away. Take care of garden. Shows me field to cultivate for grain. Shows me how to care for plants and trees. So many trees, beautiful trees, all of them full with heavy fruit. Lord God stops and picks big yellow pear, hands it to Adam for my first bite ever. Taste is amazing, sharp and strong like rock's edge, warm and bright like sun's light. And sweet, sweet juice. Juice drips down my chin, down my belly, down my... No clothes on me yet. Pear. Pear tastes so good. Adam laughs. Lord God smiles to see my joy and says, each fruit has its own taste. And he has made many kinds of fruit. And Adam is free to taste all the flavors of all the tree in the whole garden, except for just one. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is not for Adam. Lord God says, it will kill me. This is still my first day. I am in no hurry to find this tree. Especially when there is so much other fruit that is good for Adam. Do you have ears to hear me? There is so much other fruit to explore that is good for Adam. What is not good, Lord God says, is that Adam is alone. So Lord God is a little tricky and gives me a special project. Lord God has also made birds and animals from dust and tells Adam to give them all names and to look for partner among them while I do. I begin with much hope. There are so many of them. There must be a helper for me here. Come through this way, please. You are aardvark. And you are antelope, and you, bear, you will be bear. So many interesting animals. Keep coming through, please. Oh, you are a blue jay bird. And, You are a cow. Yes. And an elephant. Lord God has big imagination. So many kinds and colors and shapes and sizes. And here is a lion. And you are a mouse, aren't you? Yes, you are. And a rabbit. Lord God, none of these can make conversation yet. And a wallaby, and a yak, and a zebra. Lord God, there is no partner for me among the whole bunch. And Lord God is smiling. He knew this would happen. He knew. Lord God wanted Adam to know that only Lord God can give Adam the partner he needs. So Lord God gives me another special project, very different, very new for Adam. He makes me go to sleep. First going to sleep ever. Do you know that falling asleep feels very good? I sleep so deep, I do not feel Lord God take a rib from me to build my partner with. He couldn't have taken the part from my top, and she would be above me. He could have taken a part from my foot, and she would be beneath me. But Lord God has taken strongest part of Adam, bone, from right next to my heart. So she will be beside me. While I sleep, Lord God works. When I wake, Lord God brings to me the most beautiful part of His creation. So I will not be alone. Here is woman. She is built from part of man, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. We are a perfect fit for each other, body and spirit, woman and man, husband and wife. We are one. Lord God smiles very big. Lord God smiles and blesses us and tells us He has made us in His image. Lord God did not say this to Adam when I was alone. He waits and tells us when we are together, like it takes both of us, both flavors, man and woman, to make His image full. Adam learned the hard way. There is nothing else like us in all creation. We can think and speak. We each have our own personality. It is not just her body that is softer than mine. Her spirit is more gentle, more caring, but very strong. We have spiritual connection, the woman and I, and we have spiritual connection with Lord God. We are aware of our surroundings. We can change things around us. This is not so with other creatures. All of this is part of bearing Lord God's image. Lord God puts us in charge of whole earth, tells us to care for all of it in His place. This is part of bearing Lord God's image too, representing Him to all His creation, to care for the things that cannot care for themselves. Then Lord God tells us to be fruitful and multiply, to get busy and make babies. Wow,
I thought eating and sleeping felt good. Lord God wants there to be enough people to fill the earth. And he is serious about this. Otherwise, he would not have made baby making work the way it does. If it's not fun, you are not doing it right. Husbands and wives only, please. So, we obey Lord God. Every day we tend the garden. You thought Adam was going to say something else. Every day I till the soil. I sow seed for grain and herbs the way Lord God showed me. And everything is organic. The woman and I, my wife and I, we walk in the garden with Lord God in the cool breeze of late afternoons. And when we walk with Lord God, everything feels right. Everything feels good. Lord God tells us that everything he has made is very good. Says that he saved his best work for last. Us. Actually, the woman was last. We all have big smiles when we walk with Lord God. The next morning, I am careful to tell my wife about the dangerous tree, that God says we must never eat from it or we will die. Now, this tree is in the middle of the garden near the strong river. It looks like all the other trees. And if we had not been told to never eat from this tree, we never would have noticed it, maybe. I mean, there are so many trees. We have not been long enough to eat from all of them, and we do not have a plan to eat from each of them one by one. Our life is free. Our work in the garden is not big. We finish by morning's end, and then we explore and run and play. We walk with Lord God in the afternoons. When we are hungry, we eat fruit from the nearest tree. We play it, making fruit of our own, and sleep wherever we like. We are free. But we are not alone. Oh, Lord God is there, yes, and the animals come and go as they please. In the beginning, everyone, including all animals, eat only plants. So no one is afraid of being eaten. Even the bugs are safe in the beginning. So some animals, though, are more playful than others and will come closer, but none of them fear us. We do not fear them. Even jackals come by for a scratch behind the ears sometimes. One animal keeps a distance. Snake. There are times Adam feels like he is being watched, and there is no one there. Other times, I see snake slipping away in the bush. One day, Adam and the woman are in the river. This makes us clean, makes us cool, and is fun to play and splash in. We are in the water a very long time. We are all wrinkly. We do not pay attention. We do not notice. We have floated down far from where we got in the water. My wife gets out first so her hair can start to dry. From the very beginning. We are not watching where we are. And we have gotten close to the dangerous tree. And snake is waiting for us. He speaks to my wife. And when snake speaks of Lord God, snake says, only God, creator, Snake does not say, Lord God.
My dear, has God really said you mustn't eat from any of the trees in this garden? I am angry at first. I think I hear wrong. It is such a foolish question, so far from what Lord God said, not eat from any tree. I am happy to hear woman say right. We may eat from all trees in the garden, except for one, the tree in the garden's middle. God said to never eat from it and never touch it, or we will die. Now, we had talked about staying away from this tree. Why go near something you know can kill you? Do you have ears? Why go near something you know can kill you? But woman is putting words in Lord God's mouth. Lord God said eating fruit would kill us, not touching tree. And woman has just only said God instead of Lord God, like snake. Snake is making it sound like Lord God is tricking us, is lying to us. Snake says, oh dear, you surely will not die. Oh, God just says that because he hates competition. He knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll become just like him and know good and evil. By now, I am out of the river and am standing beside my wife. Snake has not taken his eyes off my wife. The woman looks from snake to tree and I look to tree. And it still looks like all the other trees. The fruit is full and ripe. No one has taken any, so it is heavy and looks sweet. The sun reflects off the river and the leaves shimmer with light. And in that moment, we forget all the good that Lord God has done and made and given us. We forget all our long walks in the garden with Lord God and a big smile on his face and a big smile on our faces. It does not matter to us in that moment how much very good life we already have, because here is something new. We think something different, something more, and we want more. I want to know more, and I am looking at a fruit and thinking, how can I know more and die at the same time? This is what Lord God is promising. I am thinking thoughts I have never thought before. Somehow, listening to Snake has turned my mind. Snake has never said, eat this fruit. No, Snake has just talked about how good the fruit is. So I am actually thinking of taking a fruit. When the woman steps to the tree and takes one herself, she bites into it quickly, like she is afraid waiting will change her mind. Or maybe from what she said earlier, she thinks she has already broken Lord God's rule and may as well go all the way. It all happens so quickly. The woman turns and looks at me, and Snake turns and looks at me, and I look at the woman, and the fruit is in her mouth, and she is not dead. So when she hands the fruit to me, I take it. And I take a bite of fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the taste is sweet. Very sweet.
But then it sours and turns bitter. And I do know more. I have known much good. Good is all I have known. But now, by disobeying Lord God, I know evil, for I know disobedience. Lord God does not know the evil of disobedience. Snake is wrong. Snake is lying, not Lord God. I have become more like snake than like Lord God in taking this bite. I have decided I know better than Lord God what is good for Adam. And I feel shame at what I have done. I thought I would know something wonderful. I would feel something wonderful. But I feel like I have something to hide. I was cool from the river, but now I am hot. I am sweating, even though I can feel the afternoon breeze on my naked skin. Before, I had nothing to hide from anyone, but now I feel like I must cover my nakedness from Lord God, especially, who made every part of me. So we look to find which tree has the biggest leaves to sew together a covering to cover our nakedness. But we are very nervous. We do not know how to sew. The fig leaves are not strong, and we have never felt like we needed to make anything for ourselves. Because Lord God has always given us everything we need. Lord God has always given us everything we need. And then we hear his sound in the garden. Lord God is walking in the garden. The birds are singing louder. Your song is wrong. The birds do not hush. They sing louder, they sing praise when Lord God is in the garden. He is strong and heavy, and his steps are not quiet. He speaks to animals. He blesses every creature he comes across. We are not the only creatures that Lord God loves. It is never a secret when Lord God is in the garden. There have been no secrets in the garden until now. So we hide behind trees. Children, children, where are my children? I hear sound of you in the garden, and I hide. I was afraid because I am naked. Who told you you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit, so I ate. Daughter, what is this you have done? Snake tricked me, and I ate. And all things change. Lord God is angry and sad for the first time. His smile is gone. Lord God is very angry with snake, curses him, curses snake to terrible life, to forever be the enemy of all our children. Children, my wife will bear. And because of what we have done, she will bear them in great pain. It is a mercy. We will still be fruitful and multiply, but it will hurt her very much. And Lord God curses the ground, so that now the ground will fight with me when I work it. Adama will fight with Adam. No more easy food. No more easy anything. Birth will take pain. Bread will take sweat. And dust will take Adam. Adama will take back Adam. Because Lord God never lies. So, not today, someday, I will die. My children, their children, you will die. But there is mercy. Because first, to die, one must live. We get to live longer. And all the life that ever lives begins now in the womb of my wife. And the last thing I do in the Garden of Eden is give her a name, finally. I have been waiting to know what the perfect name is for my wife because she is so special. And now I know. I name her Chava, life, the one you call Eve. She is the only thing from Eden that will be with me any longer because Lord God is sending us away. He says we cannot stay in the garden and live forever the way we are. I know this is punishment for our sin. I have thought very long about these things. And I think it is also a mercy. Because with Lord God, mercy is hidden behind almost everything. I think it is a mercy to not have to live like this forever. Life is hard. Life is very hard sometimes. There are times of great beauty and great joy, but when I think of how much I hurt Lord God by what I did, it makes me very sad. And I do not want to be very sad forever. The last thing Lord God does for Adam and Chava in the Garden of Eden is also a mercy. He makes garments of animal skin for us to keep us warm, protect us from sun and rain, and cover our nakedness. A final sign that our freedom is gone. We thought we were choosing freedom when we chose to disobey Lord God and eat the fruit. Instead, we lost our freedom in that moment. We thought we were becoming like Lord God, but instead we were pushing him away. We thought we were getting wisdom and knowledge. Instead, we learned foolishness and its consequences. Oh, consequences. I blamed Lord God for my sin. I blamed my wife for my sin. Do not think she ever forgot that. And that is another consequence. That is another consequence because now there are walls between us that were never there before. And Lord God is right. Every time she bears a child, she does so in great pain. And when the pain is worst, she blames me again. This is your fault. You did this to me. Because Lord God showed me how. I know how to grow food. It grows not nearly so easy as in the garden, but it grows not so big. not so colorful. And the taste? Not so good. I try to forget that first pear because it reminds me of everything we have lost. When we eat our simple meal in the evenings around the fire, we tell our stories to our young sons, Cain and Abel. We tell them we hope they will learn from our mistakes and walk in Lord God's way instead. We hope you do too. Learn from our mistakes. Because whenever you step away from Lord God's way, the good you thought you would find is never there. When you decide you know better than Lord God what is right for you, you are not being like Lord God. You are being like snake. Beware. Lord God did not destroy snake. Lord God had mercy even on snake, only cursed him. Cursed him so we would know he is our dangerous enemy. He is very smart and comes when he is not expected and makes something that is very painful sound like it is very wonderful instead. He is not everywhere, though. In the garden, snake was never around when Lord God was. You have ears to hear this. I will never forget walking in the garden with Lord God, the big smile on his face, so happy to see me. I miss him. I miss walking with him. I miss talking with him. I know Lord God. I know from the big smile on his face, he loves Adam very much. I know he misses me. I know more about Lord God. He is very, very smart. Someday, he will find a way to bring us back to the garden. That is the end of the beginning. Adam is finished. But Larry is not. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, Master, Creator of all things, we bow before your resplendent throne in deep thanksgiving for who you are and who you have made us to be as your sons and daughters. Lord, there is so much in this story. We pray for you to bless us as it seeps into us. Spirit, lead us into the truths that each one of us are being called to respond to. Lord, thank you for this planet. Help us to take better care of it. Thank you for our lives. Help us to take better care of them. Help our purposes not to be entertained, but instead to be people who bear your image to people and creatures and everything around us. Lord, as we all are victims of temptation, I pray for you to bless us with wisdom to stay away from things that are dangerous, to recognize moments and call on your Spirit. Lord, I pray for you to bless us in our lives of marriage, if we are married. Help us to love each other the way you love us. Give us wisdom to love all people the way you love us. Oh, Lord, there is a mountain of love in your story for us. And we thank you that this is only the beginning. We thank you that we know the end of the story. And his name is Jesus Christ. We thank you that by him we can live with you again, that you will bring us back when heaven and earth come together again. For those in this room that have not trusted their lives to Jesus, I pray for you to bless them with that grace and lead them to that time. The rest of us, Lord, I pray by your Spirit, we will bear your image well. To your glory, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Let's read this text together from 1 Corinthians 15 that tells us a little bit of the end of the story. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a human being. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But in this order, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Remember whose you are, and go bear that image well.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. Adult and children's Bible classes are held every Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by worship services at 11 a.m. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.